The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Let's go back to Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Now, speaking of the sacrificial law here, that they offered continually, year by year, day by day, actually. Now, verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshippers, once purged, had no more consciousness of sin. It's speaking about sacrificial laws ceasing to be offered. Now, verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. And that's what they did. They reminded the people under the old covenant of sin, that they were sinners and that they were sinning. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Now, it makes it very clear, doesn't it? Isn't possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins, and it's speaking under the old covenant, the terms of the old covenant. And Christ, by his sacrifice, did away with the sacrificial offerings under the old covenant. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In other words, Christ is saying that he had prepared his own body to be the sacrificial offering that God required and that had to be given for the sins of the world. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. And God says he had no pleasure in that, because really it didn't accomplish anything except point to Christ and let the people know that they were sinners. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Speaking of Christ, that he came to do the will of God the Father by offering himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sins, the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins, for everyone's sins. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Yes, according to the law, not according to the Ten Commandments, my friend. It's not speaking of the Ten Commandments here at all. It's speaking according to the law of the Levitical priesthood, the offerings, the washings, and so on, the sacrifices. And verse 9, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. And what was it he took away? Well, he took away the sacrificial offerings, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, and so on, by giving himself as the offering for sin, as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Then he said, behold, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. He didn't take away a set of spiritual laws. He didn't take away the Ten Commandments. He did not nail the Ten Commandments to the stake. He took away the sacrificial law of offering, the blood of animals, and burnt offerings. For Christ became the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And due to the fact that he was willing to do that, and verse 10 says that by his will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Makes it very clear and very plain that Christ is the sacrificial offering that God required for the sins of the world. And as I said, only the animal sacrifices pointed to the time that Christ would do this. Verse 11, every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Makes it very clear here. Under the old covenant, whatever they did could not take away sin. It was only a reminder and only pointed to the time that Christ would come and do that. But this man, speaking of Christ here, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. In other words, Christ only had to offer himself one time. Under the Levitical priesthood, they were offering sin offerings and burnt offerings and so on daily for sins. But Christ only offered himself one time. From that time, verse 13, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Yes, in other words, you are made righteous, made holy in the sight of God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by him giving his life for the sins of the world. Verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Speaking of the new covenant, or the better covenant that Christ came to make. And it didn't say anything about taking the law out of the new covenant. Notice verse 16 again. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Yes, his laws, his Ten Commandments, they are very much a part of the new covenant. And they were very much a part of the old covenant as well. And they were not destroyed. They were not nailed to the stake. Verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Under the new covenant, your sins and your lawless deeds are wiped out, forgiven and forgotten. That wasn't possible under the old covenant. It took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to do that and to reconcile you to God, which was not possible under the old covenant. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. In other words, it's already been offered. Christ was the ultimate sacrifice that was offered once and for all for the whole world. And he doesn't have to continue to offer himself as they had to sacrifice animals under the old covenant. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that is, you come right to the throne of God, the Father, which was not possible under the old covenant or the first covenant. Christ poured out his soul, his life, to make that possible, to reconcile you and me to God. Verse 20, he did this by a new and a living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Matthew 27, verse 51, if you'd like to read that, says this, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, meaning you were and are given access to God the Father. Now that is a better covenant on better promises. For under the first or the old covenant, only the high priest could go beyond the veil in the temple, and that was only once a year. In other words, under the first or the old covenant, you did not have access to God the Father. But under the new covenant, you have access through Jesus Christ as your high priest to God the Father. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, yes, a high priest, Christ, which Christ is now, a high priest over the house of God, and it means the temple of God, it means the body of Christ, it means the true church of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, we have faith in Jesus Christ under the new covenant that he died for our sins, and that we are pure and righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's true, my friends, that the Ten Commandments cannot make you righteous. It's true that the blood of bulls and goats could not make you righteous. Nothing can forgive you of your sins except the blood of Jesus Christ, that ultimate sacrifice that was paid for your sins. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, once you've been enlightened and you know the truth, you know the plan of salvation, you have repented, you have been baptized, you have received God's Holy Spirit, then God says that if you turn and go the other way, there's no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, Christ's blood will not apply to you again once you have been enlightened. In other words, what is awaiting for you, if you fit that category, is the fact that you will be burned to death in the lake of fire. Christ is high priest. Christ became high priest under the new covenant, and he offered himself for the sins of the world. Christ took away the sacrificial offerings under the Levitical priesthood. that could never take away sins or make anyone perfect, by giving his life as a sacrifice, pouring out his own blood, and making you clean, washed, purified from sins. That is, if you repent. Now that is a better covenant. When you do not have to offer the blood of animals for your sins that could never wash and cleanse you or give you access to God the Father. Yes, the sacrifice of Christ and Christ becoming the high priest that is seated now at the right-hand side of God the Father makes a much better covenant. But let's go on here. There's still more to the better covenant or the new covenant. Through Christ, we have access to God the Father. That was not possible under the old covenant, but it is possible now through Christ under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, God's law is very much a part of the new covenant. It was not destroyed. Notice what it says in Hebrews 10, verses 16 and 17, and this is speaking of the time and the terms of the new covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Under the old covenant, the laws weren't written in your heart and on your mind. They were to be kept in the letter only. Now today they are to be kept in the letter and in the spirit, in the mind and in the attitude. And God says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In other words, they are forgotten, cast behind God, removed from you as far as the east is from the west. That is, if you are under the new covenant. God's law is in our heart, and they are written in our mind, so we will be cognizant of them in the spirit and the letter, not to break, trample, and ignore God's law. God did not nail the law to the cross. He did not do away with his spiritual law that's holy, just, and good. You can read that in Romans chapter 7. Under the new covenant, we are under grace, the undeserved pardon of sin. Now that didn't happen in the old covenant, but we are under grace now, the undeserved pardon of sin. We are not under the death penalty of the law. That is the breaking of God's law. Christ paid that penalty, that death penalty, in our stead. Sin is a transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death. Christ took that away. Christ took away the death penalty, the wages of sin, under the new covenant. That was not under the old covenant. God did not offer ancient Israel salvation under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, God offers his Holy Spirit to help us keep the law in the letter and in the spirit. And that was not in the old covenant either. God did not offer ancient Israel under the old covenant his Holy Spirit as a whole. But he does offer it today if you obey him. Under the new covenant, we are offered eternal life or salvation. That's something else that didn't happen under the old covenant. They weren't offered eternal life or salvation. They were only offered material, physical, and financial blessings under the old covenant. Now today, we're offered eternal life or salvation under the new covenant. The new covenant takes away circumcision in the flesh. I hope these programs on the new covenant will help you understand that God's spiritual law still exists and is a big part of the new covenant, and that Christ nailed the sacrificial and the ceremonial laws under the old covenant to the cross, not God's spiritual laws, including the Sabbath. If you would like tapes or CDs of this program or booklets and articles to help you understand the new covenant, then call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675 and request our free booklet, What Do You Mean Salvation? This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program daily on some stations and weekly on others.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.